Good morning, church. Thank you again for allowing me to come in front of you. And this time I'm going to be preaching. Last time I came talking about Pathfinders and adventures. And I told you about I'll be coming back, right? And I kept my word, so I'm here. And I told Pastor, he's like, hey, Reggie, so you're going back to Shelbyville, right? I'm like, yes, Pastor. He like, you want to preach? I'm like, okay, no problem. He's like, you could put it all in one, you know, you could promote and get it ready for the Pathfinders and Adventurers, you know, all who are out there to, who are listening out there too. Pathfinders is open to the community. It's also a community involvement and Adventurers, you know, Adventurers ages 4 to 5th grade. And Pathfinders is from 5th grade. To 10th grade. So let's say about 9 to 15 years old for Pathfinders and about 4 to 8 for Adventurers. And it's a great opportunity, you know, to involve your kids in a outgoing spiritual program that will help develop them to be special young men and women for the Lord and for the community that they live in. And again, I just say happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath. It's great to have a Sabbath, isn't it? It's really great. I'd like to have a word of prayer. Dear kind and most heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for everything you have done for us in your life. Dear God, thank you for bringing us through another week. We didn't know what the week has in store for us, dear God. But yet again, we have come here, dear God, who are here today and who are listening, dear God. We have made it through another week. Also, for those who haven't get to see the end of the week, dear God, and a Sabbath, ask you to be with their family, dear God. Ask you the family peace. May the Holy Spirit, dear Father, touch their lives, dear Father, and let them understand that this is not the end, but you are to come and receive your children. Bless all of us here today, and may you protect me, dear Father, from the enemy, dear God. If he's here right now camping in this building, I ask for him to leave, dear Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Allah, Father, may the Holy Spirit dwell in this place today. Once more, in your name, we do pray, dear Father. Amen. Amen. All right, so you see the topic for today is called Spirit-filled. Spirit-led, having the Holy Spirit in your life. And there's a big topic that Pastor Bean talking about. It's about the Holy Spirit dwelling within our within ourselves and within our church community. And is really a lacking essential within our system we have going on, you know? And it doesn't start here in our church. It starts from home. And if we're not taking care of the spiritual life at home, we cannot expect for that same thing to happen at church, you know? I want to give you an example, and I hope that the example is pretty proper. I'm looking outside the field right now, and it's pretty snowy out there. I'm from Florida. So, you know, driving down the road before I got my license plate changed, people were like, the Floridians, they're driving so slow, you know? But I'm looking at the field right now, and I'm asking a question to the audience. Kind of be active with me. Would a farmer go out there right now and just put seed in that soil? He wouldn't, right? Why? Why wouldn't he do that? Can someone give me an answer? The ground is too cold. It's not ready. That is correct. What do you expect what happens to us? Do you think the Holy Spirit will dwell in our hearts if our hearts is cold? He cannot dwell there. He cannot grow within us. You could throw the pastor, the preacher, you know, your mentor could throw anything out there at you, spiritual-wise or and to help you. But if your heart and your mind is closed off, you're just like that field out there in front of us. It could be barren. Nothing going to grow. The seed going to sit there, and guess what going to happen? the vermins, you know, the birds will come and eat it, you know, and nothing will grow. Well, for us who are here today and who is listening, you know, I ask for us to soften our hearts and our minds. It goes for me too, you know. This sermon is not just for the public, it's for the preacher itself, you know. Can't just talk to you guys, got to talk to ourselves. And I'd like for us to turn to, I actually got a question. Where does your spiritual walk with God starts? That's a question that I ask you today. And think about that. Where does your spiritual life with God start? Turn with me to Apostle 2, chapter 2, verses 38. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. I know some people have the King James Version or the NKJV. But just letting you know, I'm here to page this. When you get this, say amen, please. Amen. Amen. All right, good. We are live. All right, okay. So it says here, Peter replied, each of you must what? Of your, and turn to who? All right. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you see where it kind of begins right there? You repent, you turn to God, and the Holy Spirit is given to you as that gift. The same thing. I'm going to read a little reference from Ellen G. White. Do you mind that? I don't think you would, right? All right. Sorry, technology. I'm a little Neil. We kind of got our technology up here, so I'm going to use it. Please don't text me. Nobody, please don't text me. Okay. So this here, chapter 7, guidance to children. Okay, I hope I get it correctly. To youth. It says here, the garden of the heart needs cultivating. I'm reading from chapter 7, sorry. Paragraph 57.2. The garden of the heart needs cultivating from the tilling of the soil. Lessons may constantly be learned. No one settles upon a raw piece of land with the expectation that it will at once yield a harvest. Diligent, persevering labor must be put forth in the preparation of the soil. We just spoke about that, right? The sowing of the seed and the culture of the crop. So it must be in the spiritual sowing. The garden of the heart must be cultivated. The soil must be broken up by repentance. The evil growth that chokes the good grain must be uprooted, as soil once overgrown with thorns can be reclaimed only by diligent labor. So the evil tendencies of the heart can be overcome only by earnest effort in the name and strength of Christ. Only in the name and strength of Christ. You have to till that soil. You have to turn it up in order for something to grow in there. You have to look at your life. Take a deep look at your life and see, you know what? What am I doing wrong? And turn to God. When you acknowledge that you are not in the right place or the right position of in your life, the only person that can help you succeed is God Himself. Jesus Christ walked on this earth many years before we did. But He Himself did not do it by Himself. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was up there with His disciples every single day praying. And to even talk about that, make sure I have the right thing here. Let's look at John 16, 12, 15. Oh, that's the right one. I got there. Yes, John chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. Amen. Amen, thank you. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says here, "There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me." So you see, he's telling us what we will receive. The same thing that happened to him when he was on this earth, walking in flesh form. The Father up above was talking to him. The Father up above was directing him on what to say, on what to do, on how to perform these miracles. None of these things was done on his own account. Okay? So for us as a community, because you see this church right here, we get a misconception of church as this building. We are the church. If this building blow over by a tornado, I don't want it to happen. The church is still here. But for the church to be here still, the Holy Spirit must dwell within this community of God. Within the community of God, a lot of things can happen. We could feed a lot of people. We could show them the right things that God want them to see. Not what us want them to see, but what God want them to see. See, Jesus Christ is love. He is love through and through. The whole Bible is about love. Some people might see it as, you know, stern. But look at your kids. Look at your children. You know, some people have bigger kids. But if you did not show them love and show them direction on how they're supposed to handle themselves in the community where they go out there, right now they'll be in some places that they're not supposed to be. But you lay that foundation, you till that soil, you grow that seed, you mature that seed in the name of the Lord. And that child has that foundation set. So it's a wonderful thing to understand that God is love, but not because he's love, we can take advantage of it. We must understand that he's our Father and obey him and trust in him. Trust that the Holy Spirit will lead us where we need to be. In order for the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, and for myself, to talk to us, we cannot be like a hotel that have many rooms, and when you look for it, you can't get a room because it's not available. We have to be available. We have to keep ourselves open to the Holy Spirit to talk within our hearts. You know, I hear a lot of people talking about, I really want Jesus to be close to me. You know, I want the Holy Spirit to be close to me. But this is what I ask for you to say. A guy told me one time when I was coming up as a young man. I'm still a young man. I'm not old, but older. But he said, you want Jesus in your life. You want Jesus to be in you. Because if he's next to you or close to you, you can lose him. Imagine walking with your kids, they're right next to you, right? And I was saying, like, you're holding his hand. But then you look to the left like, who's you? You know, it's easy to lose someone when they're close to you. But when you and that person is one, like Jesus and his Father was one, not even the devil could break that link. I learned in Master Guy's class. We're doing that right now. We're doing ropes. And someone was like, why are we doing ropes on the Sabbath? I'm like, give it a second. You know, everything that we do in the Pathfinder Club, our adventures, it always leads to God. No matter what you do, it leads to God. There's a scripture behind of it. I mean, right? And it was so cool how it happened, because we were doing the knots, and the first thing we had to learn was to make a rope. And while we were making that rope, I had a hard time because I can't braid hair. So my instructor was like, "It's okay, it's okay." He's Hispanic. He's like, "It's okay, it's okay." Like, no problem. So I'm tying it. I'm like, "What is the purpose of this for?" And all of a sudden, he told us, he like, "Listen, if you have one strand, it's easy to break that strand. But when you have the community together, no one cannot penetrate that. If your household is together, husband and wife, if you're together in God and the Holy Spirit dwell within you guys, nobody on the outside can break that bond. No one. As Christians, we have to recognize that the world we live in today is not easy to live in. As followers of God, our workplace, school, sometimes home, could be difficult to see the Lord. Our children look at us. They might not be able to talk, but guess what? They mimic what you do. It's so funny. My she said, "Don't call her out today," but I'm not going to call her out. I'm just going to talk about something. My little nephew, we are, messenger, again, technology. You know, back in the days, he had the same mail and stuff like that. No, we could like, "Hey, mom, how you doing?" No, right there. He was on the messenger, and he was a little bouncy chair bouncing around. And his mom, also, he had his tongue doing this. And we're like, "Why is he doing that? Why is he sticking his tongue out?" Well, his mom said, "Oh, I'm sticking my tongue out at him. And he's doing it." What that tells you, when you're a Christian, when you're a follower of God, when you're walking outside, people see you. They might not know you're a Christian, but they could tell that you're a unique person. You are different. Being different is not bad all the time. It's not bad once you're doing it for God. And the Holy Spirit's in your life and you're doing it for God, is nothing wrong with that. Because at the end of the day, they can look at you and say, "Hey, man, I want some of that happiness you got." Like, where you get that happiness from? I get that all the time at work. They're like, "Man, Reggie, you're so bone happy and stuff." I'm like, "I'm not trying to be happy. It just came out of me, you know. It just naturally comes out of me." When you have the Holy Spirit living your life, that what happens. You don't have to talk about God to people all the time. Bombard them with God. They see it through your life. Just like your kids see it at home. They mimic what you do. All right. Again, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm not sure here. And verses 18. This is what we need to be doing. When you get there, can you please say amen? And I have a little problem reading. Can the church read with me? I'm just kidding. Can the church read that for me, please? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18. Says here, ready? I'll help you out. Amen. We just said that, right? I will read from my translation just for the people who couldn't hear. It says here, prayer in the spirit at all times and on every occasion, period. Stay alert and be persistent. Persistent. You know, if a kid or your wife, you know, guys, you know, want something from you, you know, they'd be like, hey, honey, or hey, dad, or hey, mom, hey, mom, hey, mom. You know, it'd be like, and you give in, right? Some people don't give in. But it says, be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Persistent is the key element in what, in who we are. You have to talk to God every day. You have to. For a relationship to be proper, I'm talking to myself. Communication is key. Is key. And to show you if it's, to show you that why it's key, make sure. Give me a second. Well, sorry about that. To let you know is key, that communication is really there for us. You know, we just got to look at the life of Jesus Christ. When you look at the life of Jesus Christ, that tells you everything. Okay? And to come down, you know, we are examples. We are teachers. We are apostles. And it says in the scriptures, right here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. Where am I going with this? Well, the youth of our church are heavily affected with the community around them. And where I'm from Barbados. I born there and I came to America. And I raised majority of my time here too. So, but it takes a village to raise a child, right? And who believes that that is true? It takes a village. We are a village, the community we have right here in Shelbyville, Seventh-day Adventist Church. We are a village in Shelbyville. If you see a kid, I bet you, for me, if I walked down the street and I wasn't doing right, Miss Barker would say, hey, pull your pants up, tie your shoes. Why are you throwing stones at the cow? You know, and you'd be like, oh, man, I'm going to get home and get a punishment, you know. But it takes a community to raise a child. And here is why I say this. We all have gifts, and this is what God says. He says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to verses 13, says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will bring mature in the Lord, measure up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So, what am I getting at? Every one of you here, even including me, we have a gift. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, you need to do it. And you're like, no, not me. And the Holy Spirit like, you need to do it. Why me? You know, like pastor asked me, hey, Reggie, you want to preach? And I'm like, I pause. But I do like teaching. you know? And that's what I see my gift at, as a teacher. I'm not a professional teacher, but I do love to teach. And when the Holy Spirit talks to you, He doesn't talk to you to put you in your own comfort zone. He never does. I mean, raise your hand. Is there any time you heard the Holy Spirit talks to you, He tell you, hey, do something you're comfortable doing? No, He doesn't. It's always something that you know you're supposed to do, but your fear, you don't have enough strength spiritually to step out to do it. And for us, if we can, again, if we are persistent in prayer to God, that is a possibility that can happen. Now, let me land this plane here, okay? Land this plane. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22, verses 6. As we come down to Indianapolis International Airport for landing. All right. It says here, Proverbs chapter 22, verses 6. This is so true. And see, it might say children in this verse, but that also goes for new believers. They are new children for God. It says here, direct your children unto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. When you show the word of God in its true form, as it's supposed to be, when we have new people come to Christ, or when we have our children growing up in our household, they will be attached to what you show them. The true form of God. The true way God needs us to lead each and every one that wants to follow Him. Because each and every one of us is a priest in our household. Each and every one of us have the ability to show God's love, to show what God needs us to do to people around us that do not have God in their life. So I ask of you, I challenge you, I challenge myself. If you feel upon your heart that you have a weakness, that you don't want to step out in your comfort zone, please pray to God for that comfort zone to be pushed to the side and go into something that you're not comfortable, but you know you need to do it. All right? Pray for that. I pray for that. And showing everyone out there that God is real and He's not dead. I love you. God loves you. And if you feel upon your heart, stand with me and say, I will do my best to show God's love to everyone out there. Do my best to everyone out there. Thank you again for your time. God bless.